Let's read Psalm 46 together. If you haven't got a Bible, feel free just to listen. Listen to God's word. It's good to do that. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Thank you. Thanks, Phil.
Let's pray again together, shall we? God, we come before you now humbly, knowing that we are needy people. Not as bad as we could be, and not as helpless as we could be, but we're not the people we should be and could be and ought to be. And we know we need your help and we need your strength. We need your grace. And we ask again through your word that you'd speak to our hearts and our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but this week has been one of those weeks again that will stay in our memories for all the wrong reasons, really, aren't they? And a little picture here just reminds us of some of the scenes. It's quite timely that you gave me this psalm. You didn't know this when you wrote, Wade, put the series together. I guess as you've seen some of the pictures and the faces, and maybe watched in and try to imagine and empathize. For me, I remember hearing on the radio, I was listening most of Tuesday, to hear the mother of Olivia or Livy Campbell at the point where she didn't know what had happened to her 15-year-old daughter, and asking and hoping, still hoping, and that little Safia, little girl as well, Safi. And I at the end of it, at the end of that day, on the Wednesday, I think it was, I wrote down some of the different types of feelings that were going through my mind, or emotions, if you like, that were going through my heart. And these are just some of them. Belligerence, anger, despair, pride, I guess, and the courage that you saw and some of the folks that were part of that and the families. Shame, that in some way so quickly we forget what happens in Aleppo, and you know what I mean? In a sense, something that's a little bit nearer to home, and we forget that all these have gone on for the last many years in countries such as that. And then I read this psalm, and I read it and reread it and listened to a few podcasts as I was driving on yesterday, and that helped me a little bit as I tried to grapple with this. I guess songs sometimes help us certainly the psalms help us as we try to grapple with what is the Christian faith and what difference does Jesus make in our lives, and how can he connect with the complexities of life that we face in our various ways this week. I was struck by the fact that one of the little podcasts I was listening to alluded to this little incident. I've been reading a little bit of the life story of James Corden this week, and one of his many carpool karaoke's, and one of them was with Adele, and trying to get to know the story behind the song Hello, which was a big hit at the beginning of last year. And she wouldn't give it away, really. But it's not difficult to figure out the story behind this particular song that Richard just read to us. I mean, just listen to these words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. You've got it there, trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains give way, and so on and so on. And all that's going on, the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? The story behind what is going on in this songwriter's mind is the issue of fear. The issue of fear. And that's one of the emotions, I guess, some of us faced amongst all the mixture of emotions this week. And then when we see something in a national way or something that impacts the nation in a great way, as this week has, fear would be one of those emotions. Or maybe in some other way this week, you have known what it is to fear. My father was taken in, I was on board Jesus Live trailer about 4 weeks ago, and I had a phone call from my dad to say, I've got chest pains. Have you phoned the ambulance? No, racing across to get there. He had a heart attack. And for a moment, it was touch and go, a little part of that next hour. And then halfway through this week, I suddenly get another. I woke up to WhatsApps, which I'd missed in the middle of the night because I switched my phone off, to discover my father had been rushed in again to hospital. I didn't know until about 5 or 6 hours later. And these immediate feelings that go through your heart or through your mind. Emotions tell us something, don't they? I mean, anger tells us, I guess, the emotion, you are wrong. That's where our anger comes. Or guilt gives us the emotion, or should teach us and show us, I'm wrong. What about fear? I guess we face fear when there is danger or where there is a sense of threat, where we don't feel safe. Psychologists tell us that there are 4 different big fears in life today. The first one, of course, is rejection. This feeling of being alone, lonely. We've been looking at in Jesus Live trailer with the youngsters over the last few weeks. Rejection. I discovered, by the way, some of the teenagers here aren't going to like this particular statistic. The more time you spend on social media, you're more likely your anxiety level will go up. That's what has been proven. I'm sold to all today. Maybe as you project yourself or you sense that you'll be missing out in some way, the anxiety levels go up. So that's the first big fear. That sense of rejection. What about the future? That's another big fear. Uncertain times that bring anxiety and sometimes despair. And even in the context of what's gone on this week there in Manchester. What about the fear of death? That's the third big fear, psychologists tell us. That is a huge fear, isn't it? So often at memorial services, it's about memories, and that's right. But actually sometimes, and you see it in the media so often, they actually hide us from the reality of we will face, all of us, death. And the fourth big fear is that of loss. And I guess when things that are precious to you or to me are taken away, and that's what I faced this week as I rushed to the hospital on Wednesday morning to find out where my dad was and what was going on. The world is a scary place, isn't it? And this psalm is really what, we don't really know the full details of what's going on here. But this is psalm is teaching us to remind us that in our lives, we may be asking the question, well, is there anywhere safe in our world today? I was in the Hay Festival yesterday and tramping through the tents, you know. And it does strike you from time to time after all that had gone on this week. Well, it is so easy for someone else with another rucksack or whatever it would be just to walk through. And your mind begins to drift. Is there anywhere safe? You know, this psalmist, as you write, we don't know the actual details that he said, but this person who wrote is part of a worship community, the songs or the sons of Korah. And there is a hint there, maybe of natural disaster, mountain falling into the depth of the sea, or the heart, they topple, roaring of waters. But most likely, what is going on is that Jerusalem, the city of the people of God there in Israel, was under siege. Probably for an Assyrian leader called Sennacherib, who was an incredibly violent man. And all that's going on in that time in history, now he writes this song and he says, our God is a refuge and set in strength, ever-present help in trouble. Everything solid seems to be crumbling. Can you see that? Mountains quake. Maybe it's a metaphor. Maybe it isn't the physical. But somehow in his experience and in his life, as he writes this song, everything seems to be falling apart around him. Life. Loved ones. Health. I guess this is where we can begin to connect in, isn't it? Sometimes things around us seem so fragile. Things that we take for granted. Loved ones. Relationships. Health. And yet these things are so, so fragile. This is where we can immediately identify into this particular song that we have here in front of us. Where can I be safe? My bank account doesn't tell me I'm safe anymore. Doctors. Well, I get into the political world immediately, don't you? And where in the NHS? And what about increased security? That's been the hallmark of the words from our politicians of the last few days. So often in life, as we seek to try and deal with some of these real emotions within our lives, we try and find ways of escaping, whether it's through retail therapy or overeating or overdrinking. Can you imagine a safe place? Well, you can't really ignore what's going on in this psalm. Because he starts and says this, there is a safe place. God is our refuge and strength. It's not saying that we're to run to a place that's safe, but God is our refuge and strength. You see, God is at the center of everything in life if we take time to slow down and be still and recognize it. God is our refuge and strength. There is a God, and we're not here by accident. Actually, he is not hidden, nor does he hide himself. Actually, the Bible says he is not far from any one of us. And in this psalm, he says he is our refuge. Some of you may have seen the film many years ago called Panic Room. I don't know if it's true of houses in the UK, but in the US, maybe more people have these safe places within their home where the doors are locked and for some time they can shut themselves away and be safe. But it isn't a place they run to. It is, according to the psalmist, God is our refuge and strength. One of the things that you gave me as you sent the notes to me on this was the words of a man who wrote this great hymn, Martin Luther. And it's probable that he was thinking of this psalm when he wrote these words, a mighty fortress, this safe place, this refuge is our God, a bulwark never failing, our help amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Great, great hymn. Just it reminds us. And so the psalmist writes and he says, listen, our God is a refuge. He is a refuge. Run to him. That's what he's saying. He's our strength. He's the one who's got the power to reduce the threat against you. That's what strength is about, isn't it? I'm with him is a phrase I've said on occasions when I'm someone who is with me has got the authority and power to open doors. I'm with him. I'm with him. This is the sense that this psalmist is writing. As he faces fears around him, he says, I'm with him. And faith and family, all are affected by him. We have one who we can go to when we've got questions and doubts. That's what faith is about. One when all around is being attacked like our families. This is the one who has phenomenal strength. He is our refuge and strength. When your life seems to be shaken and toppling around you, I was meeting with a friend of mine this last week whose business went under, and he faced incredible major issues financially and house losing issues. To know where is your strength? Where can you be safe in the middle of all that life throws at you? An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, he says. When we're in a jam, when people around us seem to be failing, everything else seems to be falling apart. He is the one who we can go to, who is not only willing and able to listen, but also able to be the help when we are in trouble. And times in life, that's what we face. Interesting that the psalm all the way along, every now and again, throws in a little word, which has got the word Selah. or which means like a musical interlude, or just a moment to pause, like we did this morning as we took bread and wine together, or bread and juice together. We just pause for a moment. That's why Jesus told his people, his disciples, to do that. Pause. It's a great moment to pause. And that's what Selah means. Pause for a moment. God is the refuge and strength. When all around is failing, he is the one that remains the same. And so, he is the safe place. And this what he describes in this psalm, as we read it together, was a sense of a place that is thriving, a place that is full of satisfaction and hope. And there is no emptiness. And that's what he turns to. There's a river who makes glad the city of God. And God's with him and God's within her. And God will, she will not fall. The world that seems so mad around us. This man has found a hope in God in the middle of his fear and his questions. He's found that safe place, that panic room, I guess, in his heart. He speaks of an unassailable place where the people of God are safe and restored. And there is a sense of a new, renewed humanity. With my son recently, who is finishing off his degree, he was writing a dissertation on this man here. His name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I may have mentioned him to you before because I've been reading a lot lately on his life. But I want to throw out these lines because right facing the greatest fear that some folk, all of us in our lives will fear, the fear of death, in the last few moments as he was taken from one concentration camp to another concentration camp, he was particularly targeted by Adolf Hitler, so he would be executed before the war ended. And 2 weeks before the end of the war, he was taken to Flossenbürg concentration camp, and just before he left one concentration camp to the other, he turned to an English friend of his and he said, "For me, this is the end, but for me, this is the beginning of life." You see, he had understood that in the middle of the biggest storm of life and death, there is one who is his refuge and strength. There's one who at the break of day, of the true day, will give the strength to face whatever we face in our lives. In the day of trouble, when the days of eternity rushes at us, where is your strength? Where is your strength? What is offered is not so much a place, but is a person. It actually says in these words here, I missed out, sorry, just those lines here. It says, God will help her, she will not fall. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. It's a person, not a place. Our safety is found in the person. You see, I can't, that's why I put the picture of my grandkids in there. I can't offer an awful lot of security to my grandkids. You see, my stories have now moved on from kids to grandkids. I've noticed that. I can't. You know, you can actually offer that sense of safety. But the biggest thing I can ever offer, the safest thing I can ever offer to my grandkids or my children, what you could ever offer is the safety found in Jesus. An old hymn we used to sing, wasn't it? Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his tender breast. So let's end with two simple answers. They're found in the last few verses of that psalm. Well, the answer, says the psalmist, or whatever you face, is two things. One is an invitation, and the second is a command. When you face the troubles of life, when you face the fears and the despairs, the unknown, that sense of unsafety, when you long to be safe, he says the first thing is this: come and see what the Lord has done. In your life, bet your life on what God has done. Come and see what the Lord has done. He begins to describe them. That's what we've got in the Bible, isn't it? Come and see what God has done for you. And they knew, these people knew, they knew God had rescued them out of slavery. They knew the story of a cloud and a fire of God that led them and provided for them. I want you, he says, to stop. And I want you to remember, come and see what the Lord has done. Faithful. We had that verse read to us. The faithfulness of God. That's what you need to depend on. When you face the questions and fears and despair, remember the faithfulness of God. The guys who wrote this psalm, by the way, the sons of Korah, they could look back on their history and they knew they came from a pretty rough past. Actually, their great-great-great-great-grandfather or grandparents actually rebelled against God and were swallowed up by the ground. And now, generations later, they write and say, come and see what God has done. There's a God of grace here. Here am I writing a song, and I remember what my parents and grandparents were like, but here I am. I've discovered the faithfulness of God. For us, well, we've celebrated, and if you don't really understand what we've done this morning, we're talking about what Jesus has done, that God in history sent his son into this world. If you were alive and around in the reality of the historical times of Jesus, you could have gone and watched where Jesus healed a man who was lame, who fed 5,000 people. You could have been there and you could have seen it. And all that he did so that he went to the cross. And he gave his life so that we could know God. He came alive again from the grave. You could hang around those few days later and you could have seen him alive again and seen the many eyewitnesses that would have seen him. The best news that ever this world has heard came out of a graveyard. He's not here. He's alive. That's where we deal with issues of fear so we can have confidence to move forward. We need to look back, though, don't we? To remember what God has done. And the second thing that we begin to discover in this psalm is that not so much an invitation to come and see, but it's a command to be still. Actually, better described as stop your striving. How many of us lie awake at night? My wife is the worst at this. I have just got the ability to fall asleep. But there are occasions where I lay awake at night, striving in my mind. And you get up and you make some food or you go and watch some television, hoping to distract your mind. And that's really what he's saying here. I want you to be still. I want you to stop your striving. At this moment, all the way along, the songist has been speaking. Now God stands up and God says, wait a moment, be still. He says, be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. Stop trying to play God in your life. Recognize what Graham read to us earlier is true, that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing in this life. All that we saw on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week, all that we face in our personal fears, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So as one translation says, every now and again, it's important to step out of the traffic and be still, and know that he is God. For some of us here this morning, for some of us, the temptation is to worry, isn't it? All that lies ahead this week. The word of God says, be still, stop your striving, step out of the traffic, recognize that he loves you and he can't love you any more than he loves you right now. That he is with you. The last verse of the psalm reads like this. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Maybe for some of us, we also need to stop our striving. Maybe we've never truly surrendered to God. And so stop your striving, says God. Be still and transfer your confidence to me. I'm here. I'm the God who is your refuge and strength. I'm the one who is there for you. Stop trying to fight against me. For some of us, we need to hear that. For some of us, we may need to hear the word, stop trying to fight this battle alone. I am the Lord Almighty, and I am with you. Wonderful, these psalms. They're so gritty and so real. One of my emotions that sometimes comes up is often you see in the psalms of fear and questions and despair, says God, listen, I'm the refuge and strength. I'm your very present help in trouble. Do not fear. Therefore, we will not fear. Let's take a moment as we quiet our hearts. The end of the psalm, it sticks in that little word again, Selah. Stop. Pause. Take a moment to pause in your heart and soul. Recognize again that God is God. Maybe for the first time, recognize that he's waiting for you to put your confidence and trust in him. He's waiting to take away all that alienates you from God. He did it on the cross in Jesus. He came alive again from the grave. The best words we could ever hear came from that graveyard. He is alive. He is here right now, this afternoon. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity. Thank you for its incisive way that it cuts deep into our fears and worries and doubts and questions. And Lord, though we don't have all the answers, we will keep seeking after you, and we will learn to what it is to be still and know that you are God. Lord, you are with us, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.